Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
We're in our 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean.
Just expecting somebody to grunt into the microphone at any moment listening to this music. You know what I mean? It's like the opening scene from Ace Ventura when they're grunting.
You mean like that song
Did
of Surf?
Did you just do that too?
Yeah. And Ace Ventura is like,
bro. No, that was the worst. Like, I'm not even going to imitate it, but.
I'm better at the Rick Ross grunt.
Oh.
Day Day, get him. Please get him. Oh. Please get
Somebody
him.
I reel this man in. Golly.
Dylan, you sound like you're in an extra in the dog pound in Cleveland, and you're like, but trying to do like some kind of bark.
Like DMX.
It sounded like. I'm done with you today. I'm just going to do a hard pivot here. Let's talk about what Raheem Morris liked in that Thursday night victory against the Bucks. Actually, better yet, we'll take a listen to it because he joined Dave Archer on the Coach's Show.
The things that really stuck out for us was the time of possession, giving us a chance to have the ball longer on offense. Because we were able to convert more third downs, the third down percentage was absolutely better. And when those things happen, you accumulate more plays on offense, and that allows you to spread the ball around like you want to. Getting the ball to Mooney, getting the ball to Drake, getting the ball to Kyle, getting the ball to Ray, having the ability to get the ball to Bijan to pass or to run, the same with Tyler. And you want to be able to get those things more, but every game kind of plays out differently. This game played out in the pass and basically daring us to pass, and those guys going out there and executing was awesome.
Yeah, like I mentioned throughout the show, that was 7 different pass catchers that Kirk Cousins was able to connect with in their win.
Yeah, you know what's Raheem? He starts talking so fast sometimes that he says stuff like, and I catch it, and he goes, "You know, our third down percentage was absolutely better." And I'm like, "Yeah, it was. I mean, it wasn't like crazy. It's not like we took the top off on third. It was great. It was good. It was improved. But there were definitely some missed opportunities for me on third down." But he mentioned it. You get the ball to, Bijan a few times in the passing game. And obviously, you know, you get that 2-to-1 ratio that we talk about with Bijan and Tyler Allgeier in the backfield. Obviously, it didn't call for that. And it's hard to second guess what the run game is when the passing game's so good. But eventually, you'd like to kind of see both of them come around. But he mentioned there were a number of situational things that Atlanta was absolutely better at. And time possession is one of those things that you and I both, Bo, have pointed out till we're blue in the face, that you have to have time of possession and convert on third down and stay on the field, and the defensive numbers will continue to kind of look up if you're able to do that. And so I think it's awesome. He kind of highlights that and all those things that all-encompassing with Bijan's touches and third downs and, you know, everything else.
Well, 2 weeks ago, going into the Saints game, you were converting 22% of your third downs. You converted 43% essentially last week against Tampa Bay. So, yeah, honestly, I don't mean to sound like argumentative, but he's right. That's a 20% percentage jump.
Well,
now,
after the Saints, I think it was 27% is what you're averaging on the year.
26, yeah, which was 29th in the league. So now you're that much better than that. And I know that Tampa Bay coming into the game last week, they were converting 42% of their third downs, which was 11th in the league. So the Falcons last week converted 42.9%. So if that was that's around top 15 in the league if that was every week, right? So the point that he's making is if you can be that consistent week in and week out with your third downs, you're in the top half of the league, and that's a significant gain. So I do agree with him in that aspect. To your point, it was just so bad early in the season at 42%. Still doesn't sound great to us, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you're looking for kind of an overcorrection, it feels like.
Kirk Cousins over 500 yards, so something clearly was working well for the offensive line. Coach Raheem Morris really pleased with that. Especially when you consider the fact that Ryan Neuzel, he was in, of course, for Drew Dahlman at center, who suffered a high ankle sprain in their loss to the Chiefs. And Raheem Morris, again, happy with what he saw from the line, even with Neuzel at center.
No, you know, let's talk about the Viking just off the top. You know, like, you know, obviously getting back out there and playing for us and, you know, whatever percentage he is, you let him tell it. But for him to go out there and give us the effort that he gave us in the fight and the finish and to be able to go out there and get it done for us a week after hurting that leg, I think is ecstatic. It's just a credit to that group up front, their coach, that unit that's led by Lindstrom and Jake Matthews and all those guys up front. Neuzel going out there playing center fours and really Burge and those guys just being tough, physical people, knowing that Storm's going to be there as a backup for you if you need them. But, I mean, all those guys have played for this year. I can't say enough positive things about the O-line, particularly when you go out there and you pass the ball as much as we did. And for those guys to win a game in protection like they did, I am just jacked up.
And also to point out, Neuzel did start three games last season for Dahlman. So
yeah, I thought I think that some of what you did last year is a little bit better suited for him. I think he struggled a little bit this year so far when he's filled in, especially against the Saints. All that said, I think the offensive line's played pretty freaking well in pass protection. Mm. And for all the hate that this line received and the right tackle received, they were sacked. Kirk Cousins was sacked four times on Thursday night. Now, he's been sacked 10 times this season, which is like 21st of quarterbacks. And so that's bottom half of the league he's been sacked. That's pretty good. You know, you go to Deshaun Watson, he's been sacked 26 times. Geno Smith, 18. I watched some of Deshaun Watson's dropbacks yesterday, too. No, that's not all the offensive line. He's seeing some ghosts. But sticking here to Atlanta, if he was sacked four times and he attempted 58 passes, that tells me he dropped back 62 times. And 62 times, Caleb McGarry on a bum knee held up, maybe other than once. I think he gave up one sack, maybe was his. That's pretty good. The offensive line in pass protection has played pretty good. They've just not, to me, been as good in run blocking, which is weird because it's a flip from what we've seen in some ways.
Well, I think that the key, at least from my perspective, has number one, you've done a couple of different things in terms of pass protection. You've had a couple of, you know, ricochet-style slide protections where, you know, Caleb McGarry can slide down and kind of secure the three-tech that's on Chris Lindstrom and kind of bounce back out after the chip from the tight end on the defensive end. They've done a couple of different things. And that's allowed them to be more successful. They've used five-man pass pros and put Charlie Warner one-on-one a couple of times. They've put, you know, they've used a little bit of play action and allowed Bijan to step up. Bijan's also a huge part of what you're talking about for the sacks. You know, if I'm going to always take weight off the offensive line's shoulders, that it's not always the offensive line's fault, I got to hand out, you know, this a big award to Bijan Robinson and how well-rounded he's become in pass protection. So it's been good. On the flip side, to your point, not able to run the ball real well, it's kind of the opposite story. You really haven't done things very different. You haven't changed much up in the run game. You've pretty much run mid zone and wide zone and not done much else off of that. So I'll look for that to continue. We talked about it earlier. Zach Robinson's offense will continue to evolve. Kirk Cousins and his, you know, relationship with the receivers will continue to evolve. And let's see where it takes us, man. So I think it's fun to watch. Until you begin to get shut down, right? And then you start asking questions. But I don't think that'll be anytime soon with what I saw last week.
Yeah, that's it. The chemistry, you know, the chemistry as it grows, Mike, what happens? Ball comes out quicker because you have a feel. You know when that you know Kirk's anticipation of when that route, how you're running that route, when you're coming out of that break. A lot of times Kirk's going to throw that ball before you come out of your break. And so if he can trust that you're running exactly and that trust is there, he's going to have no problem cutting it loose early. You know, we saw it with Matt and Julio and Matt and Roddy and Matt with Tony and, you know, not Matt with you, but.
That's not true. I'm one for one targeting me. I got no.
But did he throw it before he came out of your break?
One for one, absolutely.
Or did you just run backwards?
No, he can't. No, no. Came out of my break. It was right on my chest. There you go.
All right, we're gonna get some NFL headlines. Is Carolina, is their head coach still feeling some backlash from putting Bryce Young in the game after benching him last week? We'll discuss next as we get the latest from the NFL when we go in the huddle on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This past weekend, we saw in the Panthers matchup against the Chicago Bears that they pulled Andy Dalton for the game, and they put in their number one overall pick, Bryce Young, who had just a few weeks ago been benched because they wanted to go with Andy Dalton. So it led to some confusion. Coach Dave Canales says that Bryce Young is the starter. How confident of a young quarterback, or excuse me, Andy Dalton is still the starter. How confident do you feel in what we'll see from the Panthers now that there's been like kind of that back and forth between QBs?
No, I mean, I think Andy Dalton's the quarterback. I think when I heard Dave Canales' audio of this when he was talking about it,
I confused myself.
He's if you notice, if you read between the lines what he said, yeah, we had a couple offensive linemen banged up. So we just wanted to put Bryce in there and see what he could do. What I heard was we had a couple offensive linemen hurt.
Oh, that's
we're losing the game. Well, we don't want to risk Andy Dalton getting hurt. We're going to put our backup quarterback, who we have no intention of playing at all the rest of this season, unless things go terribly wrong, into the game because we're ride or die for 2024 with Andy Dalton. Yeah,
you're spot on because I'm more confident than ever that Andy Dalton's their guy moving forward. You can read between the lines, like I said, and like you said. And when you talk about putting a guy in because of hurt offensive linemen, that's all the evidence you need, man. And how do you feel if you're Bryce Young listening to that? You're like, got my opportunity.
Well, he's like, you say
a couple of hurt offensive linemen.
I heard people discussing this yesterday, and I was just like, how are you missing – Do you not understand?
I heard him get raked over the coals for saying it. That's what I heard.
Well, because you know why? Because we outsmart ourselves. The reason people are raking over the coals, Tiffany, is people want to hear and they want things to fit their narrative. When they benched Bryce Young, they said, this isn't temporary. This is for the rest of the year. Andy Dalton gives us the best chance to win. Now, yes, that can change in about 7 or 8 games if they're just so bad that they go, well, we suck with Andy Dalton. We might as well figure out what we have left in him and know we're not trading him. But when the coach says we had offensive linemen hurt, we're getting blown out, we might as we're going to pull our starter.
That's what I'm saying. That's what people were roasting.
But
him
why? Why would he? Their best chance to win is with Andy Dalton.
I know, but I've never heard a coach come out and say, we put our backup quarterback in because our offensive line's dinged up and we didn't want our guy to get hurt. Yeah, I guess you appreciate the transparency, but
I was going to say, it happens all the time. They just don't say it out loud.
Yeah.
Exactly. He said the quiet part out loud.
But he was asked a question. How many times do we see a team getting blown out and they stick with their starter and then people go, I don't know why he was in the game?
Yeah.
No, I mean.
And I know that's not you saying that.
I'll say this too. I mean, say whatever you want to. The fact that he was able to go to Andy Dalton, and by the way, Andy Dalton, what is he, in year 13 now? Something like this. It's insane.
I think
the longevity
14,
of his
yeah.
career is crazy. But I think that the ability that for him to actually pull that string as the head coach, I know there's a head coach in Cleveland that kind of wishes he probably had that power too, to be able to pull that kind of string, because that's something that not every head coach is allowed to do. I'm assuming as well that Dave Canales was given that promise when he took that job, because – remember us talking about it? It didn't seem like anybody wanted that Panthers job. And, you know, he took it, and I was like, man, that's kind of a crazy move. He had to have had some kind of assurance that he'd be able to make moves like that, and eventually, 2 weeks into the season, he obviously did, and I think it's for the betterment of that team.
Sometimes if you listen to coaches, they'll tell you everything. You just have to want to listen and not try to put your spin on it and just listen to the words that are coming out of their mouth.
So back to the offensive line for the Panthers and the injuries. There's actually a whole host of injuries throughout the team. But back to the O-line, center Austin Corbett, he will have season-ending surgery to repair a torn biceps suffered in that loss on Sunday to the Bears. That is what Coach Dave Canales announced. So that is rough.
That's a rough one. He's a good player, and I know that they spent a lot of money to I was at Bradley Bozeman, I think they had there last year.
Mm-hmm.
They spent a lot of money to kind of redo the interior of that offensive line and allow, you know, Bryce Young to eventually step up in the pocket and deliver the ball to, you know, Deontay Johnson, Xavier Leggett, the guys that they signed on the back end. And yet here we are, and it seems like at least after last week you're getting a similar product. And the scary thing is for the Falcons, that product you had last year that it wasn't very good actually beat you down the stretch run. So hopefully you can find some differences as well.
Yeah, hopefully we've seen Ruka Roro get his first career action Thursday night, and I think he played really well at times. I thought he was able to shed blocks and make some plays in the run game. Hopefully the defensive line, David Onyemata, played a better game, and Grady Jarrett at times played one of his better games of the year. Hopefully those guys are able to take advantage of that.
Well, here's something else, too, because Taylor Moten, their starting right tackle, his streak of 104 consecutive starts will end on Sunday due to injury. So he will not be playing in this game as well. And I'll just run through real quick, since you brought up Xavier Leggett. Also him and linebacker Jadeveon Clowney, they both suffered shoulder injuries on Sunday. Both said they are hopeful to play against the Falcons.
Yeah, and the tight end as well.
Tommy Trimble,
who just got knocked out cold on contact. One of the worst collisions in the NFL this year, or actually probably over the last couple of years. And then I saw the Jadeveon Clowney injury as well. Obviously, that's you get what you get in Jadeveon Clowney, and you're getting those obvious passing downs. You don't want to see him absolutely be able to unleash. So, look, man, you just keep crossing your fingers that it doesn't happen to you, and you see the Saints continue to get hit hard by the injury bug, as well as Tampa, and just keep crossing your fingers and try to do all the right things. I think it's one of the things Raheem Morris does not get enough credit for is his ability to kind of manage this roster and everything else, and it's just another check in the category when you look at preseason reps. If this team continues to get better and starts flourishing down the stretch, that you're going to have to really give Raheem some credit for everything he's done in that category.
Yeah, that's always the hope, that if you suffer a bunch of injuries, you can still find guys to step up and bounce back, kind of like the Chiefs have been able to do over these years. Rashee Rice, their receiver, he is likely out for the season, despite initially getting some positive indications that he might be able to come back. He's dealing with an LCL, so that's the core ligament in your knee that needs to be repaired, so...
It's one of the more interesting dynamics in terms of knee injuries that I've read of or heard of, because you mentioned it's the LCL, and they did some testing on it, and they basically said, we won't really know how bad it is until we do surgery until we go in and take a look at it. And that's what, because you mentioned it, it's that interior ligament when it comes to, you know, the knee. You have to go in there and kind of take a peek at it and see what all you got. And it's been funny, Tiff, not funny, but it's been interesting to kind of note the back and forth. It's like, oh, we don't think it's as bad as it is. He still might be out for the year, and we won't know until we open it up. It's like, man, I feel like it's been a roller coaster of emotions for him as far as that entire thing, but obviously a huge knock to Kansas City, even though they're still able to come out and get the win last night.
Well, if it's not as bad as they thought it was going to be and he's still going to miss the year, then that's great news for Rashee Rice, because it means you know, if it's that bad where they – then it could have been more than a year. Then, I hate it for anybody.
Yeah, it's tough, but it's always like they always find ways to win.
Well, they got X factors all over the board. They got X factor coach, quarterback, tight end, defensive line. By the way,
ding,
defensive court. They got a Hall of Fame defensive coordinator. I don't care that he was a failed head coach. He is one of the best defensive coordinators in football, and he's how many Super Bowls has that guy won as a DC?
Baby. Dial it up,
New York and KC.
Yeah, I agree with you.
On to some other news with the Las Vegas Raiders, who have stayed in the headlines. Now, Coach Antonio Pierce acknowledged that he's still evaluating the quarterback position after benching Gardner Minshew in favor of Aiden O'Connell in the team's loss to the Denver Broncos. So that's going on amidst the Devontae Adams situation, which he said is status quo, whatever that means. Devontae Adams, he wants a trade. So, but Antonio Pierce saying it is status quo.
It's been funny to hear the Antonio Pierce news. It's come out over the last week of his time at Arizona State that he's catching flack for.
Show calls.
Yeah, dude.
8 years.
Yeah, they're like,
12 years.
They took parents of recruits to a gentleman establishment, things like that. And I'm like, this guy's the head coach of the Raiders.
It fits. I mean, that's kind of what you think the head coach of the Raiders does. I don't know. I like Antonio Pierce. I was happy he got the job. I thought he should have got the job.
We had a great, transparent meeting with him. I thought it was one of the better ones that we've had since I've been with my CBS group.
Yeah, I still think he's the right guy, too.
Well,
he's got to put out some fires. But
I'm going to tell you, it's not been a good start as the main guy. Now, the interim was great. Being the actual dude,
they dealt him
not
a bad hand,
been
dude.
A great start.
He got dealt a bad hand when they didn't go get a quarterback.
Yeah, but you can't go on Instagram and like a post of a star player.
No, you can't.
That saying that he's probably played his last game here, and it's a report. You can't do that. Mm. You got to remember you're a leader and you're in a leadership role. As y'all tell me all the time.
He wants to be petty.
You got
to
act like a leader.
You're the leader of the show.
I'm the leader of the station this week.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart Lasting Clean. What you got from us?
I don't know if I can even do a mic'd up listening to this guy over here. Look, we got my family and I got booed yesterday, but it's not because we're an underperforming sports team. I'll explain that and why I might be the Halloween Grinch. And also, this GHSA reclassification in high schools. I haven't heard a good reason why it's a bad thing. We'll talk about that as well. That's coming up and mic'd up on the other side of the break. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's a beautiful Tuesday outside. It's mic'd up. I hope you guys are doing well. Squid's over there just busy writing down stats, man. He's number crunching. He thinks of himself as kind of like a poor man's version of the Bear on college game day, things like that. You know what I mean? He just mixes it up.
I'm actually writing a note of something I need to do later in the show.
A term of endearment to your wife to let her know how much you love her and how beautiful she is as a pregnant woman.
It's a reminder of what I want to do in Life of Squid. I gave you a spoiler alert. Keanu Reeves.
Wait, you teasing your segment in someone else's segment?
Yeah, coming up at 8:25.
Fair enough, man. Touche. I brought him into this. One of the first things I want to talk about, I've realized over the weekend that I'm a little bit of a Halloween Grinch. And it's not a good thing. I want to get to the GHSA reclassification model that they've been talking about here coming up in just a minute. But I put this in the teaser, guys, and I said this. We got booed over the weekend, right? And it's not like a crowd booing you. Like, we had these people come up to our front porch from our neighborhood, and they leave like a bag of goodies, like Halloween goodies, and then they ring your doorbell and they run. And they leave like a note that says, "You got booed." Have you guys ever seen this?
Is it on fire? And you
no, it's not on fire. It's like Halloween, like kitty tattoos, Some like highlights.
Just get
books.
Ready for it, Bo. Maybe your community will do it when you have a little time.
I'm sure that they do this in your neighborhood. Some of them put like a sign in the front yard that says you got booed. I don't know if you've seen this, or like we use a door hanger that says you got booed.
So you return the favor to somebody else.
Yeah, and it kind of keeps rolling and keeps rolling.
Be careful booing me.
Yeah. Why is that?
I mean, don't come on my property unannounced.
You sound ridiculous. Here's what I'll say. I'm just not. Like my wife was like, we just got booed, and I was like, I'm just not ready for this chapter. Like, I'm not ready for this chapter of fatherhood, man. Where all of a sudden all these like things, and like I say this chapter, like these things just start building up, right?
Forced participation,
huh?
Forced participation.
Well, that and like you know, I have my godson the other day was posted to Facebook. He was asking his. He's like a 10th grader now. He was asking his girlfriend to homecoming, and he had the, will you go with me to HOCO sign?
Oh, you got to do these stupid ways to do it now. It's
so silly.
Yeah,
I was like, man, this is like, so this just kind of all falls in that category. My son's 4. I think it's cool. Like, he was excited to get all the things, but then what happens is exactly what you got to do. You got to flip around. You got to buy more toys and presents, and you got to go put them on somebody else's porch with a sign that says you got booed.
There is a thing in my neighborhood called, and I never heard of this, called Nerf Wars.
Yeah.
Now, they're kids older than yours, and they go around shooting each other, like it's a whole game, and it's just like it's, and they did it on the tennis courts one time, and they were chasing other ones or each other around, and the tennis folk who in our neighborhood think they're in a different they're a higher class,
right,
of people, and that they have certain they basically think they have free reign over anything. They got really mad, and they started, the parents were, these people were scolding the parents, and the parents start chiming in, and it turned into a whole thing
there
on a Facebook
go.
Page.
There you go.
Fun Why fact, we had Nerf Wars in college. Very fun. Very fun.
In college?
That's that's on brand for you.
Did you like in a dorm, or like how was that?
No, we actually had access to one of the buildings. Shout out to the humanities building. We actually had access to the humanities building, and we had it throughout the entire building. It was so
much
fun.
Which is more proof why Kennesaw State is a better university than West Georgia.
No, it's not.
We don't allow that garbage.
Mm.
KSU, baby.
We did Airsoft Wars at one point. But, I mean, I guess I'm just a Halloween Grinch, man, because I was just like the whole boo thing. I'm like, yeah, it's not.
You're leaning a little bit. It's bringing joy to your son and daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also emptying my pocketbook when you got to buy the toys and move it forward.
Why don't you just take the toys and give it to somebody else?
I guess you could do that. My kids, once they locked eyes on it, they were like, they're not letting those things go.
Oh, go to Big Lots. But, I mean, if it was sitting on the porch, I would have just grabbed that and walked over to the next house.
God, I thought I was a Grinch.
Wow.
Who are you?
Goodness.
Holy.
No, you guys, look. I'm just feeding into being.
I thought I was a Grinch.
Well, I mean, what is it? Nothing. Don't worry about it. I'll be right back. Go
what
feed
is it?
Yourself.
I don't know.
Tiffany, that might have been the most curmudgeon thing you've said on this show since the history of this show.
Look, Mike told me I was cold yesterday, so I am feeding into it.
I said
you know what?
Cold.
You want me to be the villain?
I don't remember saying that, but I can see myself saying that. Here's the thing. We got to talk a little bit about this GHSA classification. I don't know if you guys have seen this news that kind of popped out over the weekend. I've been wanting to get to it. All right, so there is a plan from the GHSA, and it's kind of had early, you know, people signing off on it and things of that nature, to where what they're going to try to do, it seems like in the coming years, now this is like a year off from actually happening, they're going to start taking the most successful teams in each classification and moving them up, and the bottom teams in that classification and moving them down. So your 6A, 5A, 4A would no longer exist based on enrollment at these schools. You would basically say if you've dominated – you're going to have to move up. Doesn't matter
well,
how many people are at those schools.
You were originally in there based on enrollment, but because you've done so well or so poorly, you've been either promoted or relegated.
Right, and what they're going to do is it looks like initially they're going to take the last 3 years of data, so 22 and 23, 23 and 24, and 24 and 25. They'd use a point system to rank the schools and their classifications based on their finishes, and they would move them up or down. So I guess all this kind of said, if you're a if your kid goes to a Marist or a Westminster, they're like 4A private schools. It seems that in 3 years from now, that those teams that are private schools that have low enrollment would now be in like a 6A classification and move up to the top. And I know the top classification has changed here recently, so they would move all the way up to the top eventually because of the success they have in different sports. Are you guys okay with this?
I mean, if you're pitting top teams against top teams, I don't see totally a problem with it.
Well,
I guess.
And I agree with you. The problem I have is the, and I want Day-Day to pop in because he's part of Prep Sports Nation and does a huge part of our high school athletics on this station. But there are schools that basically have worked the system with not only the city rules that can only apply to them, where they're competing with, they're running by city rules and they're competing with county rule schools, which that's an automatic jump, if I'm not right, Day-Day. But also, they've been moving kids around. I mean, this will kind of put the teams that want to do that together. Am I wrong about that? Or?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, basically what it's going to do is, to your point, like Mike was saying, for example, Pace Academy Volleyball, they're on a run right now where they've won like 7 straight state championships, right? And they're playing in 4A. So what that would do for them is that move them up to 9 times out of 10, probably, because now we're down to 6 classifications because of them getting rid of 7. But they'd probably be right up at 6 now, competing with more like the Waltons and teams of that nature.
Yeah.
So is that a good thing or a bad?
So it's a good thing because, I mean, the challenge GHSA has in trying to find competitive balance, like doing it based on enrollment is never going to me, in my opinion, never going to work. Because of Bo's point of schools, city schools, and even your private schools that have workarounds, right? So with this competitive balance, if you're doing well, if you're not doing well, take, for example, a new school like Seckinger, right? They'll probably get bumped further down because I think they've only won a total of like 5 games in their first 3 years here.
Yeah.
So, you know, it to me, it's the best system to kind of get as close as you can to a competitive balance, because right now it's all over the place.
I agree, and I think obviously you're going to look at the top and think about those teams moving up, and I think that a lot of those teams that are involved in that probably will have an issue with it. Maybe they won't. But I also look at teams that will be, you know, have the ability to basically get off the mat faster if you're bumped down. If you're a team that is consistently going 1-9 in football, right, and you're just having trouble getting guys because they're like, dude, I don't want to go to a school where I got 1-9. I'll use school choice and I'll go somewhere else. It allows you to bump down a little bit, maybe kind of recreate that program and get the thing moving in the right direction. And if you do start winning, eventually you'll kind of bump back up. So I actually like this, man. I wanted to bring it up because I obviously have been involved in high school sports in the past. I've seen this kind of on both ends, and it's a good idea. And I hope that this makes it all the way through to where a year from now we are talking about the reclassification of some of these successful programs as well as the unsuccessful ones, and kind of realigning what we think of in terms of high school matchups in the sports landscape. So there you go.
You can give us your thoughts on the movement when it comes to high school sports and the competition in our wake-up call. You can also weigh in on the Falcons and what you want to see from the team going into this week against the Panthers. Wake-up call is next. You can call us at 404-726-0929. We'll be right back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.